Hi, and welcome to the Big Deep Podcast. Big Deep is a podcast about people who have a connection to the ocean. People for whom that connection is so strong, it defines some aspect of their life. Over the course of the series, we'll talk to all sorts of people. And in each episode, we'll explore the deeper meaning of that connection. Today, I speak with a conservation biologist from Belize whose life was shaped by growing up with the gentle manatees of the Caribbean coast. Hello, this is your host, Jason Elias. Welcome to the Big Deep Podcast. In today's episode, I speak with Jamal Galvez, Program Director at Clearwater Marine Aquarium Research Institute and National Geographic Explorer and EDGE Fellow. Jamal's work focuses particularly on the Antillean manatees of his native Belize. Jamal's passion for marine wildlife runs deep, and in particular, his connection to manatees reaches back to when he was a kid growing up in the rough, impoverished neighborhoods of coastal Belize. We spoke from his home in Belmopan, the capital of Belize, and Jamal spoke about how a chance encounter with a research vessel started his interest in marine conservation, how that led directly to his work at the incredible Clearwater Marine Aquarium Research Institute in Belmopan, and how his first interaction with manatees shaped the course of the rest of his life.
My name is Jamal Galvez. I'm in Belize, and I'm the program coordinator for the Clearwater Marine Aquarium Research Institute here in Belize, where I oversee the manatee conservation initiatives and other marine species.
So can you talk a little bit about what life was like growing up in Belize? And can you tell me when you first remember having a connection to the ocean?
I grew up in a very small village outside of Belize City. It's called Gilles Point Manatee. So my connection to water has been for my entire life. It's a part of our culture, it's a part of our heritage, it's a part of our way of life. It's where we get our food from. From a very young age, learning to fish, being out there, learning all the species of fishes, seeing manatees, seeing birds, and my grandparents would often discipline us for going swimming without their permission. So we would try to hide in different places to get in the water and come back, dry our skins off and act as if we weren't swimming. And so to me, I spent most of my childhood days underwater more than I actually spent on land.
So you had a relationship with the water from a young age, but you eventually developed a deeper connection to the native Antillean manatees of Belize from a chance encounter. Can you tell us the path of how that happened and what it has meant to you since then?
But as a kid, I saw this weird-looking boat drives by. It has a manatee research written on it. Like a kid who sees a cool truck, you're fascinated by the truck. But for me, growing up around the ocean, it was a boat. So I started asking questions, and eventually I got answers that these guys were doing manatee research in my community. So I strolled along to the dock. I approached Dr. James Wadipowell, who's actually my boss still today, 11 years old, small little skinny kid. I was like, I want to come over with you guys. And he looked at me shocked for a second. And really, that's where my life changed completely. I got on the boat and being out there with these scientists, learning about the species, hearing that manatees are endangered. And during those younger days, I didn't even know what the word endangered meant. When it was explained to me and to understand that these animals are in trouble and I live right here, why can't I do something to protect them? And felt that it was my responsibility, being that they're part of our culture, part of our community, part of our waters, to know that something such as like your neighbor that is in trouble and you feel the need to act, I need to do something, you need to step up, speak out, they need to represent them since they are unable to represent themselves, and they need to be a voice for them since they can't speak. And because they can't speak, doesn't mean that they don't have something to say. It really is an honor and a passion for me to be able to be a voice for this species, be able to tell their stories in the smallest areas, the smallest communities, to the largest city across the world.
It is incredible sometimes how the most random of moments can have the deepest of impacts on our lives. And it's inspiring to see your passion for these animals, which came out of a research boat, simply coming to dock. But there must be something more there for you and manatees. What is it you find so incredible about manatees in particular? What is it that moves you personally about these animals?
People look at me and say, oh, you're saving manatees, but they don't know the backstory to it. because they saved me first. Mandy saved my life growing up in a coastal community. Poverty within, were exposed to guns, crimes, drugs, violence. It's very difficult for young kids like myself to walk a straight path. You're influenced by your environment, you're influenced by your surroundings. And I could have fallen off that path a long time ago. But meeting, interacting, and seeing these animals flight and feeling the need to want to do something about that steered my road away from guns, away from violence. Even where I grew up, society don't believe that we're meant to be researchers and scientists. It's just not the norm. So we're rewriting that norm. I'm hoping that my path will be a dream for the next generation of young boys and young girls that come from where I come from and look like I look. For me, the personal connection is a sense of I'm in debt to them for saving my life. So saving their lives is repaying my debt to the species that have kept me alive all these years and to not have fallen short of my destiny, to not have ended up in prison or in jail. People look at it as me saving Manantes, but it's basically me returning that favor that was given to me some years ago.
That is beautifully said. So how does that relate to your work at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium Research Institute? What is it that you and your team are doing there? And why do you find the work there so important?
It's not really an aquarium, but more of a marine rescue center. It's more of a marine hospital. And the work that we do is not just rescue, rehabilitate, release animals back to the wild. Our hallmark, most impactful thing that we at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium do is inspiration. It's really is what's going to change the world. I have a painting on my wall of a huge manatee that reminds me of my mission statement, so I don't get complacent. Because when you're trying to save a species that's literally fighting extinction, you cannot afford to get complacent. You cannot afford to get comfortable. I make myself comfortable being uncomfortable because working in conservation often feels like you're doing the impossible for the ungrateful. But we got to do it anyway. Our work has led to creating safer space for these animals so they have a little bit of space that they can call their home. When we are in our home, we want to feel safe. We want to be comfortable. So they deserve that sense of safety. But to be able to see them swim, come to the surface, to see a mother and a calf interact is mind-blowing. It tells in your heart. And those are some of the greatest feelings of being in this field. I don't get tired of sharing my antis with people. The ocean is large. It's a large place that has the biggest heart. So it means that there's so much love in the ocean that we should see and feel it and give that love back by doing the right things. So our job is to light that candle in dark places so that the world can shine and so that the globe can be bright. And there's no payment that you can receive that is greater than the gratitude that you have in your heart for the work that you've done.
Well, your passion is inspirational and your dedication is evident. So with that, is there one story, one moment of being with manatees you could point to as having some deeper meaning to you?
I was 12 years old, going to school in the city. And on weekends, I would go back to my village to spend the weekends with my grandma. There were two manatees in the rehab facility in my village, one named Woody and the other one named Hercules. Woody was a young male calf that was found in a place called Buttonwood Bay. Hercules was a young male as well that was very sick to the point where they felt that he may not have recovered and somehow fought through it to become strong again. I knew that they were there. So I got on the bus from Belize City, taking it down to Gill's Point where my grandma lived, and we were getting late at night. The night I could not sleep because I was so excited about going down there. Couldn't wait until morning to go down to the rehabilitation center to help feed and help monitor these young calves. I got up at around 5 o'clock in the morning. It was still dark. My grandma would ask him, "What are you doing up so early?" I'm like, "I'm going to go help monitor my aunties and feed my aunties in rehab." Sat there and wait for my friend to come by, and he had this three-wheel cart that he would carry boxes of lettuce down to the pen to feed my aunties, and sat on my grandma's step and wait for him to come to pass. And when he got there, I got in the cart and he would ride us down to the pen. Most children at the time weren't interested in going to see my aunties, so I had them all to myself. And when he got there, he started feeding the aunties and just seeing those two young calves just sticking their head up, waiting to be fed. And being there that entire day, just literally sitting down and just looking at them, monitoring their breaths. Seemed like a simple task for a 12-year-old kid. Seemed not even fun. I don't understand why, for me, it was such an enjoyment. Every time that man had to come to the surface, you could hear it. And a sense of silence and quietness and the movement so gentle that you can barely even hear the water move. It's almost like a sense of peace. A moment of quietness, a moment that I felt that I exist in the world, just me and those two aunties in this space. I felt that I was in a space that I've never been in before at that moment. And later the day, we had to separate the two meals because we were preparing them for health assessment the day after, and this required getting in the water. And I'd never got in the water with a man before. Most people are afraid of them. I was afraid, but I managed to and got in the water. And immediately I could see the calf coming towards me. My heart was beating fast. Boom, 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 boom. Not sure what this calf is going to do once it gets to me. Standing in the water, and I can see him coming through water towards me. My mind's racing, my thoughts are flying through my head, my heart's beating very fast. But still, I stood there. And as a calf approached me, I felt that everything stopped. My heart stopped beating, my stopped breathing, I didn't even move. And the calf literally puts his flippers around me as if I'm giving you a hug. I stood for a second, fascinated, and I wonder, how could they find it within themselves to still love us humans when we're the reason that they were there? He's gonna express that magnitude of love to me. Why can't I just love them back? And up to this day of my life, his five words unspoken: I am grateful for you. That's the message I got from that calf that day. And it's the message that I've carried for my lifetime, and it's a message that really keeps me going. they may not be able to say thank you. But that gesture was a gesture of a lifetime. And it's a gesture of a thank you for an entire species. Nothing can outdo that moment for me.
Finally, we end every interview and every episode with a single open-ended question we ask everyone we talk to. What does the ocean mean to you?
What does the ocean mean to me? There's no one meaning to the ocean to me. You look in the dictionary, that's where you'll find that meaning of an ocean. But the definition in the dictionary doesn't resonate with me. There's no way I can put in just words what the ocean means to me. But if I was to, I would say, to me, the ocean means life. Not just my life, but the insurmountable amount of lives that are within the ocean. The ocean is constantly giving love. Every wave that you hear, every wave a surfer surfs on, every wind that blows in a sail comes from the ocean. It's the greatest reservoir of life on this planet. What the ocean means to me is not what I can take from the ocean, what I can give to the ocean. Because the ocean has given to us things that we would not be able to give to ourselves.
Thanks for listening to the Big Deep Podcast. Next time on Big Deep.
But for me, I think the ocean is the feeling of longing, of the beauty of the transience of the world. It never lasts forever. It's always transient. It's ever changing. And ultimately, we always have to leave.
We really appreciate you being on this journey into the Big Deep as we explore an ocean of stories. If you like what we're doing, please make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, please find us on the socials where you can like and comment, because those subscribes, likes, and comments really make a difference. For more content from our interviews in our series, photos of every guest, or just to get in touch, please reach out at our website, bigdeep.com. Plus, if you know someone you think we should talk to, please let us know at our Big Deep website, as we are always looking to hear more stories from interesting people who are deeply connected to our world's oceans. Thanks again for joining us.